Blog Talk Radio.
Sort of
flubbed up the site, and it actually messed up the calendar and stuff. So I've been straightening that out. And then we will add to it the ability to go in and to do tests on the things that we are covering during these newcomer classes, so that, you know, we can do the certificates and those things. Also, the old praise.yah, glorytoyah.org site, I've been redoing, updating it, and ready to reinstitute it. And we will start trying to meet there as well. And I want to make this an offering to, you know, anybody that's in ministry. It will allow them to do and hold their meetings online with voice and video if they want. They can also upload files to share, you know, when you're doing a class. A lot of times having the ability to have pictures, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So this also gives that capability so that, you know, you can really actually do effective teaching and ministry. So I'm still working on the PBX portion of that because I want people to be able to dial into it from their phone or, you know, from online, as long as they have some type of internet connection. It should work. Working on the dialing in from the landlines, that may take a little bit longer. I have to teach myself the technology because I want it to be where we are in control of all those systems. Having that ability and being able to offer that, as I said, like free of charge, for as long as we can do it like that, that's, you know, that's the goal, so that it help the young, those people who are going into ministry who are just starting off and they need a platform. I don't really too much care for YouTube. I probably should look into it more, but anytime you go onto any of those platforms, if you say anything controversial, like you say COVID-19, is not a pandemic, but it's a judgment, they would probably strike those or not even allow those to air because they are contrary to what the message that they want to send. So we want our own platform. I am, like I said, it is up and it's running. I had to do some restores. I'm trying to restore some old things now, you know, accounts and things. So I don't have to have people recreate them, but we'll see. We are going to be in the month of September, and this is amazing because I just noticed that the new moon for September and the Feast of Trumpets are on the same day this year. And so, well, we weren't even doing a new moon last year, so, yeah. Because we are doing also the new moon, we're incorporate that with the Feast of Trumpets, which is on the first of the seventh month. And so, want everybody to be prepared for that. Be prepared for an extended service, you know, to go probably the whole 3 hours that we have typically scheduled, but I try not to do 3 hours. Or I may look at it and I want to be faithful, though, because trumpets is the first. So look at how we can combine those two services to cover, you know, both the precept and the celebration. And we also have tabernacles and the Day of Atonement also in that month, and I believe there's one more, which is the eighth day. And I have to look and see what we're going to do concerning that this year. So I've put them into those dates into, they'll be on every email, and then I've also put them, I'll put them in the text message that goes out so that you know, we have heads up that, you know, these are coming up and that we want to be in attendance for them. So let us go ahead and get started here with this newcomers class. I want to say welcome to everybody. We pray everybody's having a blessed week and that, you know, you are able to be in your book, that you are able to be before the Most High. And I pray that we are improving our walk with the Most High and our relationships. So may the ladies cover your head, men uncover your head. Wherever you may be listening, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, whether you're on the internet in general, whether you're on Blog Talk, Pal Talk, we greet you by the only name whereby men must be saved. May have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. And let us turn toward the east. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us get the Most High hands up to praise today. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you, we lift you up, and we magnify your name today, Father. We thank you for keeping us this week. We thank you for giving us a mind to serve you. We thank you, Father, for the Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for water baptism, Father, and the cleansing of our sins from us and the renewing of us in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you. We lift you up. We magnify your name. You are Elohim of Elohim. You are Elohim all by yourself, and there is none like you, Father. None like you. So, Father, we give you glory today. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let us, holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to break bread and to fellowship and to study your word, Father. You have said, study to show thyself approved. And Father, we just want to be knowledgeable of your word. We don't want you to say that we have a lack of knowledge, that we have a zeal of you, but a lack of knowledge. Father, we want to be knowledgeable in your word. We want to be able to go forth and to represent you the way you want to be represented. Father, we invite you here tonight that it would be you that would be teaching and not Brother Miles. Come, Father, let us sit at your feet and that you teach us what thus saith Yah Elohim. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 16. The book of Mark, chapter 16, and we're going to get verse 16. Mark Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. The importance of water baptism. Now, this is one of these areas of the Most High's plan of salvation. Messiah says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And so water baptism is not just going down in the water and getting wet. It's not just, you know, it serves both a spiritual function. Okay, and those who don't believe that they have to be baptized in the water, because somebody will say, oh, the word is the water. The word is the water. The word is water. And you should be cleansing your mind by the word as well. But there is a requirement for you to get wet in physical water. Our Messiah did it. Now, I sent this out, this lesson already. I don't know if you've had time to print it off, for those of you who print it off, or you pull it up on your computer, but I've sent it to you, and so everything that we're going over, you should have a copy of it. As lesson number 2, the importance of water baptism in the milk series. All right. Yeshua himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We just read that in Mark 16:16. Yeshua also said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when we actually look into the scriptures, you will never find anyone using that formula. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because to do that, it's to only repeat the instruction. It's not to complete the instruction. If I say, write your name down, and then you on your piece of paper write your name down, then you didn't do what I asked you to do. That's what happens when people baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You got to baptize in the name of. So if you believe that there's a Trinity, then you got to find out what is the name of the Father. And then you have to find out what the name of the Son is. And then you would have to find out what the name of the Holy Ghost is, the Ruach HaKodesh. And if you come up with 3 different names, then you would be in violation of the scriptures. Because the scriptures tell us that there is only one name by where men must be saved. And in all that we do it in that name. So there's plenty of hints all over the scripture that there's only one name that you baptize in. Okay? Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title, but it's also it's who and what the Most High is. Elohim, God, is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's who and what he is, the Holy Spirit. The first spirit, before he created anything, he was holy and he was a spirit. Before he created the angels, before he created anything else, when it was just him, he was holy and he was a spirit. And so why this confuses people, I don't know. It must be meant to confuse them. But the truth of the matter is, the scripture says that Elohim is a spirit. The scripture says he's holy. That is who and what he is. That's why if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness for you because you are talking to the Most High directly. You are addressing him directly. And so you can't do that. It says, all manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men. All manner of blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. Except for blaspheming of the Ruach HaKodesh. So it's important that we understand who the Ruach is. Because when we baptize, we're baptizing also in his name. It's the name of the Most High. But then Messiah said, I came in my Father's name. But when we really research and dig out who Messiah is, then we understand, and we can more so understand why there's only one name. The same being in the Old Testament that said, I am Elohim Almighty, that said, I'm the one that created the heavens and the earth alone and by myself. The one that said, I don't know any other Elohim. There's none other but me. There's none beside me. So I don't know any other. So we cannot put a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit there as three separate individuals, as three different gods, because they would be equal. Three different gods there together. He says, and one says, I don't know the other. I mean, you have to think about that. If it's the Father talking, then I don't know a Son, and I don't know a Holy Spirit either, a Ruach HaKodesh. Because this is what the Trinity, those who teach Trinity, teach. But of his own word, he testifies. I don't know any other Elohim. There is none here with me. There is none beside me. There is none that helped me create. I did it alone and by myself. And when we come into John, he tells us, the one that created the world is the one that came into the world. But you're going to know him as the Son of Elohim. That's how I want you to know me when I come in the flesh. So he tells us all over the place, all we have to do is just listen and believe. So when we come up with these Trinitarian doctrines and these Bitarian doctrines, it's contrary to what the Most High created Israel for. Israel, you are my witnesses. Is there an Elohim beside me? Yeah, Israel's answer is supposed to be no. There is no other. That's what we were formed for. So we are getting into why it's important, the water baptism, and we're going to do a whole separate lesson on being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. Because he says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So we're talking about water baptism in these lessons. And we need to know why it's important, because the water represents the grave. The water represents being cleansed. The water represents us being resurrected. And so we got to understand what the Most High is doing here. See, understanding his plan of salvation and how the different parts work together should help people to become, quote unquote, saved and not just go through the motions. Not just go through the motions, okay? The Most High has put this plan out there. He's put it in place. And every living human being after Messiah must go through this process in order to enter into the kingdom. Being baptized in the water is one of them. Now, I added to this document concerning getting rebaptized, okay, because a lot of people have asked me that, you know, or said they're going to go get rebaptized. And I think the scriptures only really support being rebaptized up under certain circumstances. And I've looked through the scriptures, and I can only find a couple of circumstances where people would get rebaptized. And what the principle behind it is, the spirit behind it is, we'll cover that last. Okay? Yah's plan of salvation includes faith and belief in HaMashiach, the repentance of sins, baptism in Yeshua's name. So if we look at Luke chapter 24, go to Luke chapter 24. And we can find this in a lot of places, but we're just going to look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And this is a class, so we will open up the phones. Mute yourself on your end. You'll mute your phone. If you have a question, you know, I encourage questions. Okay? I can make it like a college class where I'm just teaching and it's up to you to get the information. But, you know, we don't want it to be that way. We want it to be where you are. If you have a question, you don't understand something, even if you don't agree, it's all good. We just go into the scriptures and get it. Okay? Because I never want anybody to say, Brother Miles said. Wanted to be, we read it in the scripture, and you can argue with the scripture. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. His name, Mashiach's name, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So when we go through this and we're saying, we're understanding that there's only one name by which men must be saved, and that is the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ in the English. The only name given amongst men whereby we must be saved, must use that name. That's why I say, well, I just say it even here right now. If you got baptized, and this is one of the reasons that I give to be rebaptized, if you got baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you need to be rebaptized. Because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not a name. They are titles. You got to be baptized in the name. Okay? And in the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. This is our premise verses. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to get verse 8, and we're going to get 2 and 38. The book of Acts, chapter 1. But you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, has come upon you. If you don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, you have no power. You are operating under your own power. And when we look at the scriptures, when you study out the apostles, when you look at their lives, you find out that before they received the Ruach HaKodesh, they were walked in unbelief. They didn't have no power. They didn't talk with authority. They were always questioning, you know, well, should we do that? Oh, Master, we don't have any food to feed the people. Even though I just fed 5,000 or 6,000 just the other day, you still asking me where are we going to get the food from? So they walked in unbelief. It's not until they got filled with the Ruach that you see a change in their life. I can testify to this. Because once you really get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, you don't say you believe you're saved. Because the Most High has confirmed you are saved, because you know it by the evidence that he's given you. It's different when you know that the Most High has selected you, as he has chosen you. Your witness changed. So, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, or the Ruach HaKodesh, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Started in Jerusalem, moved out through all Judea, and then you got to ask yourself, why into Samaria? Remember, everybody's teaching that those Samaritans, they were all Assyrians. They were transplanted into the land. All of Israel was moved out. So it's taught. But, oh, you got to dig a little deeper. You got to dig into all the scriptures. That's why I say you can't cherry pick this thing, or else them going into Samaria to spread the gospel, that would be kind of illegal until after the Most High gives the gospel to the Gentiles, because it's first got to go to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But we'll see when we study this thing out that they went to Samaria and then to the Gentiles. So who were they going to in Samaria? These things are important. Because the word, we have to prove that the word is true. And the word stands on itself. And the Most High is not going to do anything out of order. And so we have to understand who is being talked about in these scriptures. So when he says that the word was, you shall be witnesses unto me unto Jerusalem, and then all Judea, and in Samaria, that all first, those first parts of that verse are all Israel. The first, the northern capital of Israel was called, the capital city was called Samaria. When the Assyrians came and took it over, they renamed the region Samaria. And when we read in the book of Kings, you might read that, hey, all of Israel was of the northern kingdom was taken out. But then you go into the Chronicles, you find out that, no, there were some people that escaped. And that's who the Most High called Israel. That's who he recognizes Israel, the northern kingdom, those that escaped. So we will get into some of that. We have to know that the gospel, that the word is true. And there's nothing that's just written just to be written. It's for our edification. It's for the building of our faith. It's so that we understand that the word of Yah is true. Okay. So we are in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Okay. Every one of us should be looking to receive power. After that which the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Yeshua, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the unto the utmost parts of the earth. So this is how this was supposed to spread. Okay. And let's get Acts 2:38. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Acts, chapter 2, and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in whose name? Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? No. One name. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. Repent and be baptized in his name. That's the only name whereby men must be saved. That's why I said this is the only condition. I think I found two, maybe three conditions where a person should be rebaptized. This is one of them. If you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, those are not names. Okay? They are not names. They are titles. The name of Yeshua is the only name. Jesus the Christ, don't have a problem you using that name. The Most High filled me with the Ruach with that name, so I don't have a problem with the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. I just prefer his Hebrew name. All right, let's keep going. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. When we are truly repentant, and when I teach these lessons, I like to use myself as the example, because I was hard-headed and I was stiff-necked. Okay? I mean, I've been in church, I know, at least most of my life. If not, wasn't steady as a child, but we went every now and again. We weren't made to go. But there's something about, I know about my blood family, we are very spiritual, and we've always been associated in some kind of way with the church. When I got grown, went into the military, started reading the scriptures for myself, read the Bible all the way from front end to front to the back, knew I had a spirit. I could talk to you 5 minutes. I could tell you about yourself. And I was using it for wickedness. I was using it to get between women's legs because I could just punch those buttons. I just could talk to them and could tell. Tell them about themselves. Tell them what they wanted to hear. Tell them what they needed to hear. Because I would talk to them and it'd be like I would just know. And I prayed to the Most High. When I started reading the scriptures, I prayed to the Most High. I said, "This, if this is a gift from you, I don't want it because I'm using it for wickedness. Please take it from me." And literally, I felt something leave out of me and hit the locker in my room. Boom, 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 went out the window. Haven't been able to do it since. Don't miss it. Okay? So I use me as the example. Now, the Most High started, when I was 21, started teaching me about who he is. So I knew about the oneness of Elohim, but I had never really found a church that taught that until I did. And then over the years, the Most High dealing with me, you know, as far as who we are as a people. Another thing that just changed my walk. Because, you know, I'm reading the scriptures and it's saying it's about them. You know, and we're the ones, the Gentiles, we're the wild ones coming in. But then, you know, I had to pray and ask him. I said, something's wrong. I said, there's something definitely wrong with, you know, us as a people. Because, you know, in the military, I've always been one to strive for excellence. I've graduated every school 100%. Got presidential awards for things that, you know, they say, hey, people don't get awards from the president for this kind of stuff. But I did. So I've always been one to kind of overachieve. When it came to this word, and the Most High, you know, woke me up one night, preached my word, and I ran into the streets. I didn't run toward him. I ran into the streets. Because it was never my desire to actually be a preacher. And it's still not my desire to be a preacher. I'd rather be a teacher. Okay? And then it came down some years later, you know, when I made a promise to the Most High, I didn't keep it. He gave me cancer. Told me that this is a warning. You don't make a promise to me and don't keep it. Okay? And this was me. I'm talking about me. Made a promise, didn't keep it, got cancer. Went to the doctor, told him about, you know, hey, I got cancer. It's from the Most High. He looked at me like I was crazy. Took the test. Yeah, you got cancer. I said, but it's not going to kill me. Came to move to Arizona, you know, post-cancer, and was praying to the Most High to send me to a church that was a church and a man of the Most High that was spirit-filled. Because I knew I had not been filled with the Ruach. I had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I had been baptized for years. But I knew what the scripture said, and I knew, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. Because I'm in church, I'm at church, but I still got the same carnal mind. Therefore, I wouldn't mess with church women. Single, married, because, you know, don't matter in the church if you marry. If they think you're a good man, they'll be all over you. No, sister, I won't be a good man if I do what you're talking about doing. I won't be a good man. So it defeats the purpose. But I will never mess with church women, okay? Wouldn't even spit on church ground. That's how much I reverence the Most High. Then one day, you know, I'm sitting here saying, you know, there's something wrong with us as a people. And he told me, you're my people. And I, you know, it took me a minute to digest that. That's the word that came back to me in prayer. Now, it wasn't a man that told me. I said, there's something wrong. Because no matter how much education we get, no matter how much wealth we get, no matter how much perceived power we get, the world still sees us the same. I said, why would the world look at us that way? Why does it look at us that way? No matter what we do, we never seem to be good enough. No matter what we do, they try to hold us back. What did, and that's what I knew, what did we do that they should esteem us this way, that they should think about us this way? And the Most High came back and said, you're my people. That changed my walk, because then I started reading the scriptures differently. It wasn't about them. It's about us. Changed my walk completely. So everything adds to. That's why I said it's important that we understand who we are. It's important that we understand this process of salvation so that we do it and get it right. And so that we're not just going through the motions. Because I was going through the motions. I mean, I was at church. I was doing things. I was busy. I mean, there was nothing at church that I wouldn't do. Whether it was sweep the porch or rake the grass or put in the internet, fix the computers, whatever it took, however I could help the ministry. And would never, you know, hey, this is at no cost. I know now that they shouldn't have been that way, but he said, you know, that was my service to the Most High. Okay. When I heard the voice of the Most High coming down my stairs here in this house, I will not forever call you. That's all I had to hear. And when I tell people that, you know, they're like, you heard that. Yes, I heard that. Literally, I heard that. I will not forever call you. So I knew that I needed to get serious. Now, this happened before I knew who we were. So, you know, the timing is a little bit out of whack. But, yeah, this happened before I knew who we were as a people. The Most High filled me with the Ruach before then. Telling me who we are as a people is, you know, after that fact. So let me get the schedule of events in the right order. But then that's when it became all about him, because I knew what he was saying to me. I'm about to reject you. I'm about to declare you to be a reprobate. I've been with you your whole life, and you shouldn't even be here. But your heart has always been for me. And that's the truth. I've always had a heart for the Most High. But I'm not going to forever call you. So this is your last chance. And I want you, each and every one of you, I want you to put those words in your mind and in your heart. If the Most High, if you've not been through this process, if this is what we're going to be talking about in these next two lessons has never happened to you, I want you to have that mindset that, hey, this right here may be your last call for you to get it right, for you to come to the Most High, and so that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're his, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Okay, let's move on. So that's my testimony. I shouldn't be here. I was stiff-necked and I was hard-hearted. Kind of serious, but not really serious. Wanted to have one foot in the world and one foot in Messiah's body. It don't work. It does not work. And I just, you know, I am just thankful that the Most High cared enough about me to say and tell me, I'm not going to forever call you. Because that put a fire up under me. Wasn't nothing more important than him. Trust me, still ain't nothing more important than him. So we want to be, and we want to receive that power. We want to receive the power we're supposed to receive, that we, when we repent and we come to Him. Okay. We must know that Yeshua expressly commanded water baptism, not just a ceremony or a mere outward manifestation of an inward event or an inward change. Because a lot of people will tell you that all baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. Oh, so you got converted, so you get baptized. You believe the scripture, so you get baptized. It just shows that you had a change of heart. No, baptism goes much deeper than that. That's part of it. That's a piece of it. But it goes deeper than that, because a lot of places will teach you, you don't even have to be baptized in water. So we want to make sure that there's no doubt with anyone listening, with anyone studying with us, that you must be baptized of the water. You must go down in water. Okay, we want to make that where there's no doubt, because any topic that's discussed, you know, you can go out on the internet and Google it, and you'll find all kind of different opinions, doctrines concerning these things. But I guarantee you, you are getting the word of the Most High here. I guarantee it to you. I promise you. That's why we don't use nothing but the word. Everything that is said, you're going to read it in the word. And if you're going to argue with it, you're going to argue with the word of the Most High. Not going to be arguing with Brother Miles. Okay? All right, let's continue. So Messiah expressly commanded water baptism, not just a ceremony or a mere outward manifestation of an inward event, but as an integral part of Yah's plan for us. He said you must be born of the water. Somebody will have that being the water that came out when you were birthed. I'm like, what is this thing about people not wanting to go down in the water? Oh, it's the water that came out of you with you when you were born. You were born of the water then. Then you got people saying, hey, well, we'll get in that in the spirit when we talk about the spirit, okay, being baptized in the spirit. We're going to find out in the scripture you got to go down in water, period. This is, you got to follow, you got to obey His voice. Now, we've been talking about that from the standpoint of the new covenant, the old covenant. And the old covenant says, if you obey my voice and don't break my covenant, he says, in order to enter into the new covenant, you got to be born of water and you got to be born of spirit. You got to obey his voice. Okay. Did not Yeshua himself accept baptism? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. And let's get verses 13 through 15. The book of Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Then cometh Yeshua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And comest thou to me? I need to be baptized by you, and you coming to me to be baptized? What did Messiah say to him? And Yeshua answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What does he mean by that? If I'm requiring you, I'm the first into the kingdom. I'm the king. And if I make a requirement for you to come into the kingdom, I have to also meet that requirement to be a citizen. So even though you need to be baptized of me, in order for me to enter into the kingdom that is being set up and established, I must enter in the same way you enter in. I can't put a requirement on you that I myself don't fulfill. So I hope we can understand that. For all righteousness' sake, I say you got to do it, I got to do it. I can't say I'm de facto the king and I don't have to do that. Everybody else got to come in this way, but not me. No. He says, to fulfill all righteousness, I'm requiring that you be born of the water and of the Spirit. I must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's why when Messiah is baptized by John, and then the Spirit descends upon him, what? Like a dove, with the speed of a dove. John sees it come down in the form of a dove. But that was just the sign to John, because you don't see the Spirit come like that. We don't, you know, we're not in the church seeing doves fly down from heaven and light on people. That was a sign for John, because John is supposed to announce the Messiah. This is the sign. When you see this dove come down like this and light upon him that way, that is your sign that he is the Messiah. This is your cousin. You grew up with him, or kind of. When you were in your mama's womb, you caused your mama to leap. And she was filled with the Ruach because of you, John. Because of the baby that was in Mary's womb. The Messiah. So John was given a sign. When you see this sign, this is, you're going to announce that this is the Messiah. And this is the one that baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. So we got to understand that John had a job to do, and he was given a sign, okay, so that he would know. All right. So Messiah is baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. I'm the king. I'm going to be the king. I'm going to be the first one into this kingdom. Not the second, not the third, not the last. I'm going to be the first one. So, John, you need to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness, because everybody coming in got to go this route. I do it, they got to do it. If I don't do it, I can't say they got to do it. Not in righteousness. So how come you didn't have to come in that way? So to fulfill all righteousness, he comes into the kingdom, he's baptized. Okay. By this act of obedience, Messiah did about five things. One, it recognizes that we are, it makes us to recognize that we are sinners, okay, and are in transgression of his laws when we recognize that we are in need of salvation. Because he did it, then the scripture says that he wasn't a sinner. But he's going to be the one that purchases the kingdom with his own blood. But he says that even to enter into the kingdom, he had to enter in the same way we enter in. Okay? So, recognize that we are sinners and are in transgression of his laws. This is what this salvation is all about. We come to him because he came to save us from our sin. So we have to recognize that we are sinners, and that sin is what? The transgression of his laws. And so in order for us to be right with him, we got to stop transgressing his laws. We got to be sorry that we transgress the laws. And he says, now, when you are sorry that you have transgressed my laws and that you have been disobedient to me, and you know what you have done, not just, you know, we know the big stuff, we fornicated and we did these things, but really, the truth of the matter is, you can just sum it up in, we disobeyed his voice. We disobeyed his commandments. Didn't do what he said to do. So he says, I told you to do these things. These are the statutes, laws, and commandments. And when you don't do them, you sin. So this brings us to the knowledge that we are sinners and that we are transgressors of his laws. We are supposed to turn away from all our sinful ways and die to them. Coming into the blood covenant relationship with him. That's why when we start, you know, when we're studying the blood covenant and the blood, the covenant is sealed with his blood, not the blood of a lamb, but sealed with his blood. And so we have to come into that and with that understanding. We're coming into a blood covenant relationship. I'm getting you ready. You're going to repent of your sins. You're going to turn away from them. And we're going to enter into a new agreement, a new covenant. Okay? Sealed with my blood. Not the blood of a bull or a goat, a turtle dove, or any other animal. This is sealed with my blood. So we're to turn away from our sins and come into this relationship. And we take an oath to Yah that we will not willfully transgress his laws again. See, this is what part of it that the church and the rest of the body is not teaching. And it's going to cause a whole lot of people to go to the lake because they feel like and they think that, hey, I can just sin and ask for forgiveness and it's okay. But that is not what's in this word. So when we come into this part where we're ready to be baptized, we understand that we are sinners. We understand that we have transgressed against his law. We didn't obey his voice. We understand that. And then we're taking an oath. We're coming into agreement that we will not willfully, intentionally break his word. We will not willfully break his commandments. We will not willfully break his law. Okay? We won't do it again. Not willfully, not knowingly. This is what this is about. We're entering into the new covenant, the new contract. The old one, it says it was weak. Not because it was weak in and of itself, but it was weak through what? The flesh. We didn't want to bring this flesh up under control. We still wanted to let it control our lives. You know, we came to Messiah and we were still fornicating. We came to Messiah and we were still committing adultery. We came to Messiah and we were still stealing afterwards. We came to Messiah, whatever it was that we had a problem with, typically 9 times out of 10, we still had that problem. We say, you know, well, I'm getting better. I'm working on it. You know, I want to put us in a place, in a position where that's not a question. That's not the mentality. I want to put us in a place where we understand what it is that we're coming into so that we don't go back and transgress. Because that gets you the lake. That causes us to lose the promises. And somehow, somewhere, people are being taught that they can't lose it. Evidently because, you know, all I got to do is confess and say I'm sorry. But we know now that that is way more serious. It's way more serious than that. So we can't do that. Okay, let's move on. So we come into the blood covenant relationship him and we take an oath that we will not willfully transgress his law again. You're supposed to have that understanding. We make ourselves one with HaMashiach in his burial and in his resurrection. We are separated from the old life of sin and defeat. When you know, I am convinced that when you know who you are, when you really know who you are, and when you really know what the Most High has offered you and what he is making you, that should be enough to keep you out of sin. You should want that more than you want to sin. So I truly believe us knowing the truth about it and looking at it in the right light, in the right perspective, will cause us to not walk in defeat. Because you'll have a respect of who you are. You'll have a respect of who the Most High is. You'll have a respect of what he's done. These won't just be things that you've heard about. It won't just be that. 4, we are separated from the old life of sin and defeat. We are buried. We bury that old person, that old man, that old woman. That person is dead. That one that walked in sin and used to love to do whatever, that transgressed the laws of the Most High, that person is supposed to die. That person, you say, I'm dying. That person is dead. I don't do those things anymore. And I don't do them because of who the Most High is making me. I understand that I'm becoming his child because we're not born his children, contrary to what the world teaches. Messiah had to come that we might become the sons of Elohim. If we already were, that wouldn't be one of the reasons he came for. So we have to become the sons of Elohim, the children of Elohim. So we understand what he's giving to us. And we have seen that. We put a high value on it. It's not just words. Because I think for a lot of people, those are just words. They don't feel any different. They don't have a perspective of what this really means. And so we don't want to be that way. We want to come with the understanding that we are becoming the children of the Most High Elohim when we are water baptized and born of the Spirit. We become his. And we should value that above everything else on this planet. We don't take it lightly. Number 5, when we come out of the water, we come out of the water sinless. All of our past sins were washed away to lead a new life of righteousness and victory. So when people can understand that when you come up out of that water, you truly are without sin. You know, the Most High no longer sees you as a sinner. Sees you as a new creature. I got a new start. That old me that used to steal, that old me that used to lie, that old me that used to practice witchcraft and do drugs and sell it to people and all this other stuff. That old me that took pride in who I could bed, whether I was man or woman. That old me that was just so prideful of all these wicked things. That man is dead, and everything that they did is dead. It's gone. It's washed away. If we can understand that. At that point, you come out of that water, you are sinless. The Most High said, I forgave everything up until this point and passed. So everything up from the day you were born up until this point when you came to me, gone. And now you should be able to walk in the newness of life. If you understand that and if you take it seriously. Because see, truthfully speaking, I don't think a lot of people take that seriously. Sometimes they're going because somebody said, you need to go do that. But they're not doing it with understanding. Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes it's the mother and father. But we want to make sure that when people come to Messiah, that they are coming in spirit and in truth. This is who you are becoming. This is what the Most High is going to do for you. This is how you should feel about that. And if you don't feel that way about it, you shouldn't do this. Because we're just baptizing people just to be baptizing them. And it's coming up a wet devil. Coming up, they got wet, but they were never converted. They feel some kind of way about the Most High, but never converted. And then we justify, you know, our actions and what we can do and what we can't do. Justify when we act wickedly. And if we really are, you know, convicted, we'll say, I'm sorry. Oh, I know I shouldn't have been with that person. And we might be good for a couple of months. half a year or whatever, and then we back at it again. We don't want that. We want this to be so grounded and so cemented in people that if they go that route, it's going to hurt them to their heart like they don't know. Can't just easily walk and do that. That is the goal. So you're separated from that old life of sin, of defeat. We are buried. We bury that old person. And we come out of the water sinless, all our past sins washed away, to lead a new life of righteousness and victory. All of this was made possible by Yah's love toward us from the very beginning, for his children, when he first created man and gave man free will. The angels were like, how are you going to give man free will when you know what he'll do? You don't know who this is. And the angels didn't know who man was until the Most High revealed it. See, the angels just thought that man was another one of the Most High's creations, another one of his creatures that he put into the creation. And what they didn't know is that these are my children. So I'm going to be a little bit more lenient with them, but I'm still going to be righteous, and I'm still going to be just. But these are my children. This is what the angels didn't know. Satan said, what is man? What is he that you so mindful, that you pay so much attention to him? What is he that you pay so much attention to him, that you're so mindful of him? That is not recorded, what he said in detail in the Bible, the Christian Bible, the Holy Scriptures. But in the Quran, it's spelled out. I know what you know not. This is my child. It's different from you. Satan wanted to know, what is he that you are so mindful of, and you pay that much attention to him? You don't give us that kind of attention. So you got to understand that you are very special in the eyes of the Most High, and the angels know it. You just don't know it. Got to understand. So we got to go through this process. Okay? Give this the Most High's plan of salvation. He did that because he loves us, because of who we are. But he's going to be just. The Elohim we serve won't put up with anything that's evil, not even his children. And if he must destroy his evil children, the wicked ones, he will. Because he's not a respecter of persons or beings. Yeah, you my child, but you know what? Be wicked and see if I don't kill you. Be wicked and see if I don't put you in that lake where I made for Satan, the one that's all curious about you, wanting to know, what are you to me? I made him to be evil and wicked for a purpose. I didn't make you to be evil and wicked. But if you choose to be, I got a place for you too. And I will put you there, even as my child. So we got to understand when the Most High says, hey, if your child curses you, and he says, this is the penalty, curse the Most High and see if he won't do it to you. See if he won't say that he will do it to you. He doesn't give us one standard. He has another. The same standard, the same judgments he gave to us are his standards for his children as well. So he don't have, say, you got to do one thing, and he's going to do another. He don't work that way. And the more we get into this, the more we ought to understand that. That his, the standard he's putting on us is his standard. You are my child, and you need to go by my rules, and you need to learn my standards so that you can be like me. Not so you can stay human and be and do what you want to do and stay corrupt, because that's going to get you to late. I'm going to burn your butt up. I'm not giving you a different standard than I'm going to hold myself to. So we got to understand that. We have to value who we are, who he is making us. And understand that he's not a respecter of persons. So, yeah, I gave you my ruach. You chose to go wicked. I'm going to burn your butt up. So esteem what the Most High is doing for you. I want you to understand coming into this that this is not nothing to take light. There's no greater gift than this. I don't care how they could give you $1 trillion. If you end up in the lake, so what? What was the trillion? Because you're going to burn forever. There's no greater gift than this. All right, let's continue on. To be sure, faith in HaMashiach does save us from our sins. But do not pit his commandment to have faith on the one hand, because a lot of people will say, all I got to do is have faith. If I get baptized, that's a work. And it says that you can't be saved by works. People be coming up with all kinds of excuses not to keep and obey the voice of the Most High. Try to pit one scripture against the other with no understanding. Because they just want to do what's right in their own minds. So we can't pit that against his commandment to be baptized in the water. On the other hand, you got to let both of those scriptures, or all the scriptures, live in harmony, as HaMashiach intended, in accordance with Yah's eternal plan. You got to get the entire scripture and harmonize them together. You got to understand when it says not to do something, why it's saying not to do it, or when it's saying, oh, you can't be saved by your works. If you think going out and feeding the homeless and giving some people some money when they need it, and going by the widow's house and taking her to the store because she ain't got nobody else to take her there, and then you're going to the church and you're mending up the fence and you're fixing the walls, you're doing all this good stuff. If you think you can do all that and you don't need Messiah, then you are woefully wrong, because you're still a sinner. You need to change that relationship. You need to take that label off of you. So you can be good and you can be doing all these things for everybody in the neighborhood. But if you don't come through Mashiach and get saved, it is all for nothing. And you have told him, I came and got up on that cross for nothing. I came and shed my blood for nothing, because you feel like you don't need it. You feel like you can get into this kingdom without me. That's what it means, that not of works. You can't be good enough to get into the kingdom without Messiah. So you have to understand that we have to go through him. That's what it means, not of works. But the things that the Most High says that you got to do to enter into the kingdom, you got to do those things to enter in. Well, somebody, oh, that's a work. No, it's not. It's a requirement. You're not doing that to say you don't need Messiah. You're doing that because you know you need him. Can't cut him out of the picture. And this is what people try to do. So all these doctrines that you hear, all these excuses not to do what the word of the Most High says to do, they're just some man's opinion. There's some person who don't want to follow and obey the voice of the Most High and want to do what they want to do and want you to follow them to do it. So you shouldn't even be entertaining these conversations because they are foolishness. Obey the voice of the Most High. He says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Obey that. What you should be asking is how? How do I do that? Not should I. Maybe this person got a point. Maybe I don't need to be baptized. Then you know you've just been hoodwinked. Okay? So this is a serious matter. We don't want to be listening to all these different doctrines and all these different opinions and, you know, I think, I believe. What do you know? Because you can think a lot of things. And you can believe a lot of things. You can believe a lot of things that ain't true. So we're going to get straight from the word of the Most High. So Yah did these things because he loves us. To be sure, faith in HaMashiach saves us from our sins. But do not pit his commandment to have faith on one hand. By faith are you saved. And against his commandment to be baptized in water on the other. Got to know what you're talking about there. Okay? Let both live in harmony as HaMashiach intended in accordance with Yah's eternal plan. Do not consider yourself complete in HaMashiach until you have been baptized in the name of Yeshua or Jesus Christ. Like I said, I'm not fighting against the name of Jesus Christ, even though that would not have been his Hebrew name. Okay? So, first question. Why was Yeshua baptized? We read it already, Matthew 3:15. Let's read it again. And Yeshua answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Mashiach is going to be the first in the kingdom. He couldn't put a requirement on you to enter in that he didn't fulfill. And though he was sinless, where am I getting this noise from? Let me do this. If you have a question, just push the number one, and I'll open up your mics. Okay. So, to fulfill all righteousness. Mashiach did it. If Yeshua got baptized, don't you think you would have to? How could somebody, you know, if somebody tells you it's not required, you say, well, Messiah had to do it. Let them argue with that. How did Yah show his approval of HaMashiach or Yeshua's baptism? Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Most High let it be known that he was well pleased that Messiah did what? Fulfilled all righteousness and got baptized. As I said, when we go from the book of John, this same event, you're going to find out that not just Messiah saw this or heard it. And this was a sign to John that this is the Messiah. That Messiah, that Yeshua is the Messiah. So the Most High was pleased, well pleased, that Messiah was obedient and fulfilled all righteousness and did what? Got baptized. Was Yeshua actually submerged in water when baptized? Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 says he came straight up out of the water. So he must have been in the water. To be baptized means to be submerged, dipped into. Matthew chapter 3 verse 16. And Yeshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Must have been in the water to go up out of it. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim descending like a dove and lighting upon him. What did Yeshua tell his disciples about salvation as recorded in the Gospels? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Messiah told him, hey, same thing that happened to me, same thing I had to do to fulfill all righteousness, everybody entering and going to all the nations and teach them and baptize them. This is the way in. John chapter 3, the book of John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or seriously, seriously, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. Now, there are some camps out there that's teaching people that to be born again is when you are resurrected. That is just flat out a lie. I mean, just flat out a lie. If you wait until you die and get resurrected to try to be born again, you're going to end up in the lake. Because the scriptures tell you, you got to have this done before you go to the grave. And so if you wait to come up out of the grave to say, I'm getting my spiritual body, so I'm born again spiritually, you have no understanding of what the Most High is saying or doing. You're going to cause a whole lot of people to go into the lake of fire because they're going to go to their grave having not done what he said to do, having not obeyed his voice, but obeyed the voice of a man. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Now, you got a lot of people that think, I got to be born again. Nicodemus like, hey, how am I going to crawl back up in the womb when I'm old? What are you talking about, Messiah? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, seriously, seriously, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit there, you can write the Most High. You can write God, the Creator. That's what this of the Spirit. It's not talking about like a thought, the mind, or it's talking about the first Spirit. When it says the always identifies the original and the first article of anything. The original art. This is the first Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Most High Elohim himself. When we go into Jeremiah and he says, in the last days, a new covenant shall I make with the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. I shall write my laws in their heart and in their mind, a new covenant, and I shall pour out of my spirit. I am a spirit. I'm going to pour out of myself upon all flesh. Messiah is saying, hey, unless you are born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. So anybody that wants to get into the kingdom, you got to obey his voice and understand you got to have both. You got to be born of the water in his name, and you got to be born of the spirit. And don't just take it for granted that, you know, a lot of places teach, hey, if you confess and you say this prayer, you got the Holy Ghost. That's another lie. It's just a flat-out lie. It's rarely, can't say it doesn't happen, because I can show you in the book, and when we talk about this, I'm going to show you that the formula, all the pieces have to be in the formula, but they don't have to be in a certain order. So you can be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh before you ever get baptized in the water. You can be baptized in the water, and then you got to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. You got to do both. The order is not important. If the Most High looks at your heart and says, I'm going to fill you with the Ruach HaKodesh, I'm going to fill you with my spirit, he's still going to send you to get baptized in the water. Because it's a requirement. So the order is not important. But guess what? Being filled by the Ruach is not an automatic thing. And we're going to show you, I'm going to show you that in the scriptures as well. Because I want us to understand, and I want you to want it. I want you to want the Most High, because the Most High wants you to want him. You don't want you going through the motions, and you really don't want him. He wants you to want him. Okay? So Messiah tells Nicodemus, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. And if we had gotten the other verse, he says, you being a teacher in Israel, you don't know this? Because, you know, our forefathers should have known this process, should have known what Messiah was coming to do. He says, hey, you should have known this. You're a teacher. Got a lot of teachers in the world today that still don't know this. Got a lot of Nicodemuses out there. After receiving the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, as promised by HaMashiach, the apostles were enabled to carry out his commandments regarding salvation. I tell you, when you go, if you really do a study on the apostles, you will find that they were weak. You will find that they walked in unbelief. You will find that they didn't believe the report. But they were chosen. It's not until they were baptized of the water and of the Spirit. After many people heard Peter's message, now this is after they have been filled, okay? Now we're going to come into the apostles, and we need to do like a little separate study on them. So you understand your weakness, you're not uncommon to them. They were weak too until something happened for them. We need that same thing to happen for us that happened to them so that it changes us the way it changed them. So we're dealing with them after they're changed, okay? And Peter has gotten bold. Remember, Peter is the one, when he got crucified, when he got to take him, Peter's the one that ran away, denied him three times before the cock crowed. But now here he is bold, okay? A change in him. After many of the people heard Peter's message during the Feast of Pentecost, they ask, brethren, what shall we do? They're asking, what shall we do to be saved? Okay? What did Peter tell them to do? Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And some of these we've sort of been over this afternoon or this evening already, but let's get the context behind it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You want to know what to do to be saved? Repent, be baptized in the name of Yeshua, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's what Messiah told Nicodemus. Peter's not saying anything different. He's telling him, hey, you got to be baptized in the name of Yeshua for the remission of your sins. Then you shall receive the gift. What was promised to them and to future generations? Let's get verse 39. For the promise of what? Is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. What promise? Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. We'll get verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that they took them by the hand to bring them, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and with the house in those days, saith Yah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. All of your sins that are past, I'm not going to remember them anymore. I'm going to write my statutes, my laws, and my commandments in your heart and in your mind. And I shall be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. The same statutes and laws that the church says that they are not under. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to get verses 8 through 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 13. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days cometh, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yah. I had no regard for them. Will you say you my people? No, you're not. You disobedient? You ain't my people. I had no regard for them. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and will be to them a Elohim, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sons and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxed old is ready to vanish away. I'm doing away with the first covenant I made with you. And I made it only with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. But now I'm going to take to myself the stranger. I'm going to take to myself a people out of the Gentiles. I'm going to take to myself a remnant of Israel, those who will hear and obey my voice. I'm going to write my what? My laws, my statutes, my commandments in their heart and in their mind. See, all these people talking about, they're not up under the law. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Or they don't believe they're part of Israel. So wait a minute, that don't apply to us. That's Israel that got to keep the law. See, they're coming with no understanding. They want to replace Israel, but they don't want to keep any of the requirements that Israel has on it. You got to keep these statutes, these laws, and these commandments. You cannot transgress willfully. Oh, I can still sin. All I got to do is say I'm sorry and confess. And he is sure and just to forgive me. You have no understanding. Because you don't read the law, you don't understand that he has never done that. And he's telling us in the New Testament he ain't doing that either. So we cherry picking these scriptures and just sending people to the lake. What did the people do as a result of Peter's command? Go back to the book of Acts chapter 2. Because this is the day of Pentecost. This is when the Ruach is released. This is when the kingdom is opened. This is when salvation is released to mankind. First to Israel. What did the people do as a result of Peter's command to repent and be baptized? And they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The same day. But they heard, and you got to understand that different culture, they already knew the law, even if they weren't keeping it most of the time. They knew what it was. They knew what good news it was. You're going to forgive my sins. So when we gladly receive the word of Yah, gladly receive it, then I'm going to say also in this present day and time that they need to be taught first. Because most of the world, especially Gentiles, don't understand the law. Don't understand what the Most High is doing for them. As a Hebrew, if we had any understanding, we had a zeal of Elohim, but what? Not according to knowledge. A zeal of him, but not according to knowledge. So when you understand, you should be excited about this thing. You should gladly run to that baptismal pool and jump in, because I'm what? I'm going to be a new creature. The Most High has not seen me as that old sinful person. He's made a way for me out of no way. I couldn't do this. I couldn't change my status, especially with the Most High. All right. In what name were the people baptized in? Acts 2:38 again. Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. It's not what he said. Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this is the name. There's only one name. Can't be baptized in the name of Buddha. Can't be baptized in the name of Hare Krishna. Can't be baptized in the name of President Obama or your name of your pastor or your teacher or the Father, Son, or Holy Ghost. Because those are not names. As I said, you baptize somebody in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you have just repeated the instruction, but you didn't complete or follow the instruction. You didn't do what the instruction said to do. Baptize in their name. You should be saying, well, what's the name? What's the name? Okay. But we don't listen most of the time, and we're just doing things, going through the motions. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The book of Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ, Yeshua, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in your Bible, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So everything that we do, we're supposed to do in his name. That includes baptizing in his name. Okay? When you pray, you're supposed to ask in his name. When you are saved, you're supposed to be saved in his name. What did the people of Samaria do after they heard and believed the good news preached by Philip? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Now, again, I want us to understand that these people in Samaria, the city of Samaria, Messiah told his disciples not to go to Samaria while he was alive. He said, I got to go there. So I want you to understand that these people in Samaria, who the gospel is coming to, these are Hebrews. These are the lost sheep. These are the ones that their own brothers in the southern kingdom would have anything to do and call them dogs. I want you to understand who they were talking to. Their own brothers are calling them, you don't, what do you have to do with us, a Samaritan? Okay? But these were their brothers who chose to stay in sin. Okay, but they're the lost sheep. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. Now Messiah sent people ahead of himself. He didn't want his disciples going there. But he sent 70, he sent them two out two by two, and he sent people wherever he should go ahead of him. And they told him that the people in Samaria, that Messiah was coming. That's how the woman at the well knew. That wasn't taught to her down through time. That wasn't a tradition that they had passed along. Messiah sent people ahead of himself to teach them. Now, what you have to look at, and maybe another time we'll look at John chapter 4, when Messiah comes to the woman at the well. One of the things that he would not directly tell those that were in Judah, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the elders, who are you? If you are the Christ, just tell us plainly. So you say I am. But then he tells the woman at the well, I am the Messiah. Because this is who he was sent to. So we got to understand what's going on. So when they go to Samaria, and they're preaching the gospel, when Philip comes and runs back down that Yeshua HaMashiach has been crucified and he is the Messiah, they believed and they got baptized, both men and women. Read verse 16. How were the Samaritans baptized? Acts chapter 8, verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. He was fallen upon none of them. You have to, that should put up a flag in your mind. Who was not fallen upon none of them? Only they were baptized in the name of Yeshua. So there was something else they were waiting on, but they believed and were baptized in the name of Yeshua. But something had not happened to them. They had not received the Ruach HaKodesh. He wasn't falling upon none of them. Okay? So you can be baptized and not receive the Holy Spirit. And this is where, just to be honest with you, about 95% of all the church in the camp, this is where they're at. They've been baptized in his name, but have not received the Holy Spirit. He has fallen upon none of them. So we got to understand that this is not something that's automatic. Oh, as soon as you believe, you got filled, no. No, and we don't want to spread those falsehoods. We want to set the expectation and set that you would, if you haven't had this to happen to you, that you would go before the Father and you would seek it out. Because he wants to do it for you, but he wants you to want him. What did the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, have to do before he could be baptized? Let's go drop down to verse 36 and 37 in the same chapter. Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 37. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now, if it was just the word, he was reading the word already. He said, who is this word talking about? And then Philip explained to him that it was talking about Messiah. And he understood that he needed to be baptized. He said, so here's some water. What's hindering me? What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of Elohim. So he was reading. He knew what this, who this person is like. Is this man talking about himself? This prophet, is he talking about himself? He talking about somebody else? Philip comes and explains to him who Yeshua is. He says, I believe. And he got baptized. What did the eunuch actually do before being baptized? Again, the same verses, but we want to concentrate on, he confessed that he believed that Yeshua HaMashiach is the son of Elohim. That's what he actually did. I believe that he is the son of Elohim. Because this is what the scriptures say, that in this, as a son, this is what we have to believe. And we should believe that. Because this is how he says, you're going to know him as. Let's do one more. Let's see. How many I got left here? Yeah, let's do one more. We have to pick this up. Was the eunuch actually submerged in water when baptized? Verse 38. Acts chapter 8, verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So we will start with question number 10 in this section. And what section is this? Let me make sure. This isn't even a section, but it's a question. Question 5, sub-question 10 is where we need to start next week. Still dealing with this water baptism. We're looking at the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. We see that he was reading the scripture. He knew that the scripture was saying that he must be baptized. He says, hey, here's some water. What does hinder me? What's stopping me from being baptized? Philip tells him, hey, if you believe that Yeshua is the son of Elohim, you can be baptized. And he says, I believe that he's the son of Elohim. And he went down into the water and got baptized. On question 10, we will be going to Acts chapter 10. This is when the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10, is when the Gentiles now are offered the opportunity to come into the kingdom. That Ethiopian eunuch was a Hebrew. Because you got to ask, again, you got to ask yourself. The scriptures make certain claims. Now, when we get into Acts chapter 10, we've been in Acts chapter 1 through 8. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, he's going to tell us that this is when salvation and the kingdom was open to the Gentile nations. So all before this, that Ethiopian eunuch was a Hebrew. That woman of Samaria was a Hebrew. Those people in the city of Samaria, they were Hebrews. Because salvation wasn't offered to the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10. So I got to tell you, everybody that it was offered to before this time was a Hebrew Israelite. Part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Messiah said, I came but for who? I'll get that next week so we can understand. I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now after I'm gone, because of what my people are going to do, I'm going to use that to open up salvation to the Gentiles, the other nations. But he himself will tell you, I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, I don't understand what the church be saying, because, you know, hold on, let's get one verse, and then we'll call it a night, we'll pray out. But we're going to start here next week. But I want to get one verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15. And we're going to get verse 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is Messiah, the only one I'm sent to. I came to restore that my priesthood. I came to restore because I'm going to save the world, but I need my priesthood to do it. I chose you to be a nation of, a holy nation of what? Priests. Didn't want to do the job. Still don't want to do the job today. I don't want to be everything else, but nevertheless, we're going to get it right sooner or later. Needed his priesthood. His priesthood is supposed to take the gospel to the world. Okay? But I just wanted us to know Brother Miles is not just saying these things. You read it for yourself. And so we have to understand the order of the things. All right, let's bow our heads. Oh, before we do that, are there any questions? Any questions concerning what we covered today? All right, no questions. Let's bow our heads. We do have a question. Shalom, Sister Rachel.
Shalom.
You have a question, my sister?
I do. I have a question. My question is, I know this may sound weird, but can anyone be baptized more than one time?
You said, can anyone be baptized more than one time?
Yeah, okay, I guess my question is, say if someone was baptized and some people believe in getting baptized in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some people get baptized in Jesus' name. Some people get baptized.
Okay, hold on just a minute. You kind of broke up there, and I kind of missed what you just said.
Can you hear me now?
So ask it, repeat what you just said, because you broke up. Some believe that.
Okay, I said some people believe that some people get, baptized in Jesus' name. Some people get baptized in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So with that, can someone get baptized more than one time?
I'm going to say yes in that circumstance. If they got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they should be rebaptized. One of the few reasons that they should be baptized. If the gospel was not explained to them, like when we look at the book of Acts chapter 19, let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
Got your Bible with you?
Yep.
Book of Acts chapter 19.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
I plan to cover this in a later lesson at the end of this stuff, but we can go over it right now, real quick.
Let's see if I find it. Acts chapter 19.
Yes, ma'am.
In verse 7.
We're going to start reading at verse 1.
Verse 1, okay. All right.
And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, so these are believers, okay? And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What did they say? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And nobody ever told us about receiving the Holy Ghost. So he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto whose baptism? Verse 3?
John.
Okay. They were baptized unto John's baptism. John's baptism wasn't in the name of Jesus or Yeshua. John said, I baptize you unto repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him that should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they had already been baptized in John's baptism, right? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So the reasons that you should get rebaptized is, number one, you were baptized for the wrong reasons. You weren't, nobody explained to you what you were doing, what you were getting into. Number two, if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because you are supposed to be baptized into his name. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Spirit is a title. You must be baptized into his name. That identifies specifically who you're being baptized into. The name. The name is important. So if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I would recommend that you get rebaptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you were not taught properly the gospel, then I would say you probably want to get rebaptized.
Why?
Because when you have understanding, then you should enter into this thing with understanding. Those are the only two reasons. If you had those understandings when you got baptized, then there's no reason for you to be rebaptized according to the scriptures. Maybe you just need to repent and turn from those ways and pray to the Most High that he does not impute your sin against you.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, amen. Thank you for the question, my sister. We will be going back over this again at the end. I added this specifically to the end of this lesson for the simple reason I've had a lot of people ask and say they want to be rebaptized. But, you know, it's really what is the reason that you want to be rebaptized? Because the scripture doesn't make a whole lot of, doesn't give a whole lot of room for it. As I said, we go to John. Let me go to Acts chapter 19, and these were John's disciples. They had not been baptized in the name of Messiah, and they had not heard about being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. They had not received the gospel. And so they knew, and John was teaching them that, hey, you should get baptized on the one that comes after me. And so when they heard that, they believed and they were baptized, rebaptized again. Again, I say this is probably for the church that the church body that baptizes in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I usually call this the Christian update right here because they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they need to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. So they need to be rebaptized. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight, Father. We thank you for the richness of it. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you, Father, for providing a way where there was no way for us. We had no way. We couldn't get ourselves out of that sin nature, out of that sin condition. There was no way for us to change who we were, our status. But you loved us so much that you made a way that we could wipe our slate clean, that we could come to you and be without sin, without spot. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for your gift. We thank you for your wisdom. Father, we just want to be obedient to your word. We want to do that which is right in your eyes. You want the gift of salvation. We know that we must do something to receive it. You said we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That requires us to consider and make a decision and then to act upon it, to do the work to enter into your kingdom. Father, give each and every person the understanding that they might teach others. This is how you enter in. There is no other way. Give us perfect understanding of it, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On Thursday, we will have the business meeting. Well, I know what I forgot to tell y'all. I've been meaning to tell y'all. I keep forgetting. This September, the 7th, 30 years, I and my wife have been married. 30 years this year. I was going to take her to Hawaii, but then, you know, this COVID thing and that long flight, and then, so we decided to do it different. I would take her back to where I met her in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Shorter flight. Less time to be cooped up with people, still just as dangerous, but, you know, I couldn't see not doing anything for 30 years of marriage. Up and down like anybody else. Still, she put up with me for 30 years. So during the, we will be having the new moon service and Feast of Trumpets while we are in Myrtle Beach. And we're still going to do those things because, you know, hey, you know, I understand this is like our second honeymoon or what have you, but this word comes first. And so we will be obedient. And I pray, like I said, that this new moon service and the Feast of Tabernacles are on the same day. So it will be a combined service. And, you know, I want you to plan to spend just a little bit longer time because we do need to observe both tabernacles, I mean, Feast of Trumpets and the new moon. So it's like a high, high holy day, a new moon and Feast of Trumpets in the same night. That will be on the night of September the 5th. September the 5th and 6th supposed to be non-work days. Okay. That September the 6th, which would take it into the Gregorian calendar, the 7th. Nevertheless, I pray that everybody is mindful that we are there. We will be celebrating it from Myrtle Beach, from the hotel room there. And we'll also be celebrating our 30th anniversary the next day. Also, I wanted to do something, and I'm thinking what to do. We are coming up on the one-year anniversary for Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry and all of us getting together on the 26th of this month. I think I would like to have a service to celebrate that and commemorate it. So on the 26th, which is that is a Thursday. So rather than having the business meeting, we will have a celebration service on the 26th. And don't be surprised if you get something in the mail. Don't know what yet. Maybe I'll order you a meal and have it delivered, something. We'll see. I'll decide between now and then. But I do want to celebrate that evening, our one-year anniversary. That should take us on into the month of September when we have all the feast days, tabernacles, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the new moon feast for September, a very busy month. Okay? With that being said, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
I do if I don't have you, it's all about you. without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? One time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishmaka, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Perfect.